Welcome to the Forbes India Cover Story podcast series in association with theindycars.com. My name is Abhishek, and this issue's cover, titled 100 to Watch, profiles innovative startups in the Asia-Pacific region. The list has six outfits from India, and joining me on the call to talk about the issue is Forbes India's Manu Balachandran. Hey Manu, nice to have you back.
Hi Abhishek, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. And there are 100 companies, and we will be talking about the two that you've written about. But what's the package about? And for our readers, if you can remind them, do we do this year on year?
We do this every year, Abhishek. It's basically a continuation of what Forbes Asia does. So Forbes Asia annually come out with a list, of about 100 companies to watch out for. And these are basically startups that, that'll be targeting underserved markets or that are sort of applying new technologies, and that can range from generative AI to blood cancer, celebrating innovations and things like that. And there were six companies that we had from India this year, from Singapore, from Indonesia, from Hong Kong, from China. We had companies from all of this, and six were from India. Of the six, we have profiled four of them. I have written about two of them. That is Red Dot Health and Kaleidofin. Red Dot Health is a Hyderabad-based company. Kaleidofin is a Chennai-based company.
Let's start with Kaleidofin. You said it's from Chennai, and you write that it offers tailored financial solutions to underbanked customers, mostly women. So how did this outfit come to be, and how is it different from, say, a microfinance outfit or any other such startup that offers these kinds of solutions?
So Kaleidofin is run by Sucharita Mukherjee. She used to be the CEO of IFMR Holdings. What she told me is this is a continuation of the kind of work that they were doing at IFMR. Basically, the women population, the underserved, small-time entrepreneurs and people like that, among women, they wanted to target that. They wanted to make credit available to them quite easily. So what they do is, across four different parameters or four different segments they operate. One is key score, which is considered something like a CIBIL score, but something far more. They use their own homegrown sort of technology, and basis that they profile you. You have a score, and that score a lot of companies are very keen on before they lend money to people. That is the main platform, the key score. Even if you look at the company, that is something that is generating good revenue for them, and that's a product that they're sort of particularly proud of. On top of that, they tie up with banks, where they facilitate money, and they're also a microfinance institution. So in case they want to, and they have an NBFC license, so if they really want, they can lend money. A bulk of what they do is they tie up with banks and then sort of provide these specific targeted products that women or their users need. Say, for instance, you want to build bathroom in your house, and which means you'll need about a lakh rupees. Kaleidofin identifies and helps them to sort of get that sort of money, tie up banks on that goal-based sort of saving. So they can save money, then eventually pull that money out and then use that for whatever goal that they had set themselves. So there are four different products, but primarily key score and key credit is what, key cash is what they're focusing on.
Right, and 3 million customers is what you write, and 97% of them are women.
And insurance is another area that they're very keen on. That's another product that people don't really know so much about, right? So they make sure that insurance is something that they help sort of connect with the end consumer.
She's worked with banks and also collaborated with Nachiket Mor of ICICI Bank formerly, who's a very well-known figure in this industry.
Nachiket Mor had launched IFMR in 2008. So then she went to LSR, then she went to IIM. So she was out of the country. Then she was always looking for a way back into India. And she says she was very inspired by the kind of work that, IFMR was sort of working on. And that's when she joined them. So she spent almost a decade with them and then moved on to start Kaleidofin.
By women and for women is what she says, the model of her outfit. And moving on, Red Dot Health was another interesting story that you've done. And it started out as an Uber service for ambulances and is now something far more than that. So tell us more about it, Manu.
So We had profiled, interestingly, in 2008, Red Dot Health as a company that was when we did something on the lines of, companies to watch out for. I had profiled this particular company. It was then called Stand Plus. Stand Plus started off as an Uber for ambulances, and Prabdeep and his two other co-founders at that point were very bullish about the whole business. They'd said, there is a serious problem with, getting ambulance on time. So they were sort of trying to figure that out. I think then COVID happened, their ambulances were flying across. And I think somewhere along, they've realized that they need to sort of cover their entire sort of emergency healthcare sector. And that is why I think early this year, 2023, they went for rebranding. They raised money last year and they've gone into a rebranding. And that's where they have renamed themselves as Red Dot Health. So now basically the ambulance business continues. So that means, you call on their helpline, and what Prabdeep says is within 0.8 seconds, and he wanted me to try it, but unfortunately, I didn't want to waste an emergency call. But 0.8 seconds, you get a response, and, they will try to send an ambulance to you within 8 minutes. In some cases, it can go up to 20 minutes, depending on the cities. They're looking to do this within 8 minutes. They have about 10,000 ambulances under their fold. I think about 4,000 of them are owned by them. The rest are tied up with other ambulance providers. So basically, think of it as OYO or Uber. So you standardize all the procedures and everything. And it's sort of run on the platform that is Red Dot Health. What has happened post the rebranding is that they've now started tying up with corporates. Now, say, for instance, you're a manufacturing company and you need to have, your emergency healthcare in place. You can do all this in-house. You can develop it by yourself, or you can bring in a partner like Red Dot Health, right? And they will provide all the necessary, healthcare tutorials, healthcare services that you'll need in case somebody is desperate and things like that. So that is another part of their entire sort of new focus now, which is the corporate sector. That apart, they have, a bunch of sort of services like Red Dot Assist, Red Pharmacy. So, these ancillary services that will help you with, call them, they'll get some medicines across you. They will, guide you through an emergency procedure before, before the ambulance reaches you. They train paramedics. So it's basically covering, everything that you'll need when an emergency arises.
Yeah, sticking to the ambulance service itself, Singh told you that he saves one life a day, which is pretty great achievement in the first place. And I was surprised to read in the story, Manu, that there aren't many ambulances going around. India has only, you write, 25,450 state-run ambulances and 29,000 odd private ones. The figure is staggeringly low, isn't it?
It is. And these are some of the numbers, I think, that was passed on in one of the government, Niti Aayog, I think it was a parliamentary question. It clearly shows, we need a lot more ambulances, also from the public sector. When the government has only 450 odd ambulances.
It's an unorganized sector, would that be right? Everybody that we know of has been in a situation where they might have to call an ambulance for, let's say, a senior citizen or whoever. When I was in that position, it was, just because I had a few numbers of the ambulances, you used to call them, try, and then you keep your fingers crossed, and then, they would come in, because especially during COVID, they were running full.
There are always some problems. They'll come to a location, they'll come to a location where it might be very difficult for a big vehicle to get in, and you have to take your patient all the way out, carry them. These are all precious sort of time. You have very little time to respond. We know of so many people, I'm sure you'll also know of people, who probably would have passed away because they didn't get that health, that emergency response. In fact, the company, when they started the company, the three of them and all three of them met while they were studying, I think, at INSEAD in France. One of the co-founders, his colleague had passed away while they were in Rajasthan, at a sort of a factory or something of that sort. And because they didn't get that emergency response on time. So, we're talking about time being so precious. And if you don't have ambulances that reach you on time, it's a serious problem. And especially in a country like India, right? And we had seen this through COVID, but somehow that push never really happened post that also. Even today, I think when you try calling a I think a regular, you know, a 108 or something like that. You know, half the time you're put on hold, or you know, it does. There's always a long waiting. So what do you do as a customer? This is something that's welcome. The only thing is, how do you sort of scale up? You know, that becomes a problem, especially when you know margins are thin. You know, that becomes a constraint. But I think the intent is good, and I think with the rebranding and everything, they'll probably be able to bring about a change.
Great. In the interest of time, Manu, any other outfits that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, there are two more companies that my colleague Rajiv Singh has profiled. One is a Bangalore-based company called Exponent Energy. They're a full-stack EV charging company, and I think they had rolled out some a sort of a rapid charging technology that helps a battery pack to full capacity in under 15 minutes. So Rajiv has done that profile. So that's an interesting company. And the other is a company called Apna Club. That's an online B2B wholesaler, e-commerce shopping platform. So for all your sort of grocery, food items, you know, things like that. So that's two companies that we have added and that Rajiv has written about. Readers, please feel free to read them as well.
Great. Thank you, Manu, for your time on this podcast. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Abhishek, for having me.
All you listeners, you can get this podcast on ForbesIndia.com or any other app that you use to download your podcasts and to have someone call you for a Forbes India subscription, message Forbes to 51818.